Listening to Outlook from the BBC World Service with me, Heather Payton. It sounds like something from a science fiction thriller or one of those mysterious illnesses that tend to be the preserve of the truly neurotic. But imagine how awful it would be to be allergic to electricity. It's a force, of course, that's everywhere in these modern times. Telephones, television, washing machines, cars, trains, lighting, you name it. Almost everything we see and touch and use. And amazingly, there are people deemed to be allergic to it. More than 3% of Swedes, 200,000 people, for starters. And those are official figures from the Swedish government. One man in Britain who suffers from electromagnetic sensitivity, or EHS as it's known, is Brian Steen, chief executive of a food company in the English Midlands. He told me how he first became aware of his condition.
In my job, I was a very, very heavy mobile phone user for about 15 years. And of those 14 years, never gave me a problem. I used a mobile phone perfectly okay, didn't suffer any symptoms. And in my 15th year, I started to suffer some very weird sensations. Those weird sensations started to come more quickly whenever I put the mobile phone to my head. And although I stopped using a mobile phone as much as I had been, I didn't stop completely. And this continued for about a year, when in one particular day, as I put the mobile phone to my head, I had intense pain, as if my eardrum had burst. And I swore that day that I would never use a mobile phone again, and I haven't. That's 4 years ago. But sadly, what then started to happen immediately afterwards was that I started to feel the same sensations that I'd got a year earlier on the mobile phone whenever I was stood next door to a computer or in my car. And subsequently, through research, found out there was a name to this condition called electromagnetic sensitivity.
But presumably at some point you went to your local doctor. Now, what did they tell you?
Well, what I was frightened of, first of all, was that I had a brain tumour, so I went to my doctor and explained what had happened, and as soon as I explained to him why it had happened, he became quite cynical, and this was something that, you know, was I working too hard at work, was I suffering from stress, and I tried to explain that I wasn't, but I was concerned that I might have a tumour. He sent me off to see a specialist, I had a brain scan, and a phone call told me that I didn't have a tumour, which was great. But then it was sort of, well, okay, I haven't got a brain tumour, but what is happening to me? And it was only through really research that my wife did on the internet to find out the symptoms of electromagnetic sensitivity that we put the two together.
So how on earth do you manage? Because you're the boss of a reasonable-sized company.
Yes, and it's because I'm the boss that I can cope, because I know many, many people that are like me. And sadly, because they're like me, they can't work. In my particular case, because I'm the chief exec, I have been able to modify my environment by removing those things that are electronic. I don't have a computer, I don't have an electric circuit in my office or anything, so that I have to modify an awful lot of things, but I can continue to work.
What sort of things can't you do?
Well, it's not a case of what I can't do, it's more a case of am I willing to be ill? So I can certainly sit in a recording studio and I can certainly sit in front of computers or TV. But after 20 minutes or half an hour or so, I will start to feel the same old symptoms and I will be, depending on how long I'm there, quite affected.
Well, I was going to ask you how you're managing at this moment, because you're currently sitting in a BBC studio. I mean, do you expect you're going to be paying for this later?
I suspect so. I mean, I can sense electromagnetic fields, probably a little bit like I used to be able to sense pollen. When I suffer from hay fever, if I was out playing cricket, I would know that there was pollen in the atmosphere because I could sense it. When I'm in a high electromagnetic field, I can sense it in a little bit the same way, and I would start to have quite sensitive nerve endings, and those nerve endings would start in my face and gradually move down my body.
Okay, well, let's bring in someone else at this point. Per Segerback in Sweden, another sufferer who's worked for a big mobile phone company there. Per, I know that you were involved with the early development of mobile phones, and you've also got this problem, as Brian has. Tell me about it. How does it affect you?
Well, it's changed my whole life. The first thing that happened was that we had to rebuild the whole office area where we worked. Right outside the office window, we had a couple couple of antennas for mobile telephony. And we suspect that those were the main reasons we got this disease.
And what sort of symptoms were you getting?
Started with tickling in your inner face and in your whole body, and weakness, headaches, and increasing pain in the skin, and after a sufficient exposure, basically your whole body, awfully painful. But I think maybe the thing that affects you most is that you get so tired, you can hardly stand on your feet.
Brian, is that something you find? Do you get very tired?
Yes, and one of the things that I find is that if I don't turn the electric off at night when I sleep, after 2, 3, 4 days or so, I start getting progressive pains across the whole of my body, and I'm suffering from ME, but I can control it.
Per, how have you coped? Because, I mean, you don't any longer work for the phone company, do you?
No, I don't. But we had a lot of support from the management at that time. And Ericsson rebuilt the office area, built a special room for me, actually. And also they helped to rebuild my home. So we put metal plates on the floors, walls, and ceilings, and changed the electrical system of the house. I had DC current supply for the lights, and that actually made it possible for me to keep on working for Ericsson, although I was electrosensitive for about 10 years.
But you no longer do that, do you? You no longer work for them?
No, I don't.
Whereabouts do you live now? Do you still live anywhere near the company or anywhere near any phone masts?
No, I actually live far out into the woods. I have to leave my house and my family in Stockholm, and now I live far out into the countryside. It's hard to actually get an ordinary radio to work out here, and mobile phones, you can get them to work outdoors, but not indoors. So the background level of the electromagnetic exposure is very low.
Can you drive a car? Because there's all sorts of electronics in cars these days.
Lucky for me, I'm an engineer, and my friends at Ericsson were also engineers, so we rebuilt the car for me.
Brian,
took away the generator.
Brian, what about you? Can you drive a car safely?
With difficulty. There's not many cars I can drive, and in the early days I thought that the problem was simply electronics. So I had a car built for me removing microchips, and found that that didn't work, and it was only subsequently that I realised there was electric currents that were affecting me from the alternator and so on and so forth. So I've gradually learnt a lot more, but I haven't as yet found another car that works for me.
Well, in Sweden, the condition is at least more recognised than it is in Britain, and joining us is Professor Ole Jonsson of the Karolinska Institute. Ole, you're an authority on this condition. I mean, how new is it? Is it something quite recent?
No, it's not. It has been well understood and recognised for several decades, actually. And you said it's more recognized in Sweden. That's not correct. It's completely recognized by the Swedish government, not as a disease, but as an impairment or handicap, as it was used to be called. And the debate has, of course, been very fearful here in Sweden. And it's interesting to listen to Brian and Per, because the very first explanation that was used by Swedish physicians was that this is a postmenopausal women's problem. And to my knowledge, Brian and Per, they are men. So you see, these explanations, they were not really covering this issue. Also, a very popular explanation for a long time was that it's actually your fault. It's a mass media-driven psychosis. But to that you have to add thousands and thousands of scientific studies that has been published in scientific journals using, for instance, cells, organ and tissue pieces, rats, mice and so on. And of course you cannot state that they should be mass media driven, because after all, rats and mice do not listen to the BBC, and still they are hurt or damaged or injured by this type of electromagnetic fields that we are discussing now.
It's obvious that some people are more sensitive, like Brian and Per, than others are, but are we all vulnerable, do you think, to some extent?
That's a very, very clever question, because it could be some genetic background alterations, of course, meaning that a subgroup would be more sensitive. But from our own and other studies, it seems that we do have a sensitivity among all people, and especially if we move to other types of alterations, such as cancer, neurological diseases, and so on. And funny enough, you know, like Per living far out into the woods, maybe at the end he would be the winner, like people, for instance, in Africa or South America, which do not have this kind of technologies. They are not irradiated, they will not get any long-term biological or medical effects, such as a cancer. And in that way, Per may sort of get away from these problems only having the electrohypersensitivity. But of course, to be electrohypersensitive, that's really nothing you would like to be, because you are sort of shut out from the modern society.
Ole, what should ordinary people do? I mean, is there much we can do at the moment?
Well, that's a very good point, because while we are talking, we are all exposed to different types of electromagnetic irradiation, like from mobile telephones, computer screens, light ray tubes, and the power frequent magnetic fields from the power supply. And the question is whether something of this will actually give us short-term or long-term medical effects. And it's a little bit scary to see that some epidemiological studies actually have shown a connection between, for instance, power frequent magnetic fields and children's leukemia, as well as mobile telephone use and tumors on the hearing nerve. So there are things coming up that, of course, from a human point of view is scary, and hopefully it will sort of dissolve and we can relax in 20 years' time from now and say, no, nothing was really at risk.
And I was talking to Professor Ole Johnson of the Karolinska Institute and Per Segerback, both in Sweden, and Brian Steen in Leicester in the English Midlands. In Outlook tomorrow, we'll be meeting the woman who spent 20 years visiting refugee camps, talking to migrants about